Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. We're going to be covering two topics during the first hour. The first is how NSAIDs may inhibit ovulation. The second is going to be, are you retiring soon? Take up a new sport. Studies show that those who are retiring should look to sports as a transitional step. Then, at the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Krista Faraday, who's been on the show before. She wrote the book, The Every Other Day Diet, and there's some new research. We're going to look at the safety and efficacy of The Every Other Day Diet. Before we get started, I have to mention that our title sponsor is All-American EFX Sports. You can learn more about them by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the All-American EFX Sports banner ad today. My first guest is talking to us all the way from Naples, Italy. He's Dr. Sammy Salmon. How you doing, Dr. Salmon?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Carl.
Thanks for being with us today. So, recently we did a show about how non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs may be affecting testosterone levels of the forming fetus. And this started to bring to light that maybe these over-the-counter drugs may not be as safe as we once thought. And you just published a study looking at how NSAIDs may inhibit ovulation. What made you look at this, Dr. Salmon? What questions were you trying to answer?
Well, actually, the study was just presented in the European Congress of Rheumatology only a few days ago. And some reports were seeing something like nearly 10 years or more ago. Some researchers have tried to blow a whistle that, look, these drugs are not all safe, especially for young women who are planning to become pregnant. These drugs, when they are taken during sort of the month where that the woman is trying to get pregnant, then probably they will inhibit ovulation, and that the ovum will form in the ovary of the lady, but it will not have a chance to actually erupt from the ovary into the fallopian tubules, into the uterus, to become impregnated. In other words, it's going to become useless, it's going to degenerate, staying where it is in the ovary. So actually, we thought that the best thing is let's do some research on this, because this was proved in animals. Probably it was proved once on humans, but not really repeated again. So we have taken women and young women particularly complaining of simple aches like back pain, and we convinced them that we are going to give them these tablets, and we are going to do ultrasound for their uterus before and 10 days after daily intake of these non-steroidals. And we found out amazing results in that nearly three-quarters of these women, and even more, did not ovulate when they took the non-steroidals for 10 days continuously during the period where the ovum is supposed to erupt and supposed to come into the uterus to become fertilized. And this is shocking, because it means that so many women who are not getting pregnant, themselves or even their doctors is not aware that probably simple things like taking the tablets over the counter are the ones who are, you know, who are causing this.
Well, to me, this makes perfect sense to me, and I'll tell you why, and then we're going to talk about your study. So one of the things that people may not realize is that the cytochrome P450 cascade, which is responsible for very, very many metabolic functions in the body, enzymatic cascade, the cyclooxygenase enzyme responsible for the target of many NSAIDs is right upstream from enzymes that help to regulate downstream metabolites of sex hormones, such as aromatase and so on. And so when you start to tamper with the upstream enzymes in this cascade, the downstream enzymes are affected too, 5-alpha reductase and so on and so forth. So it makes perfect sense to me that if you are tampering with cyclooxygenase, that the downstream enzymes are going to be affected too, and many of these play important roles on balancing certain sex steroid metabolites. Am I off base on that?
Oh, you are right. You are absolutely right. Actually, again, part of our study was not only doing the ultrasound of the ovaries for these ladies before and after taking the tablets for just simple 10 days, but in full dose of the non-NSAIDs. But the other thing we did is measuring their progesterone levels.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that the progesterone levels, which is the main hormone that is, that plays an important role into pregnancy and into getting fertilized ovum implanted into the uterus. This hormone, really significantly becomes lower in these women who are taking the tablets. And there was a significant decrease in that. So actually, to be honest, personally, I was very alarmed when I found these results. And I feel that this should be taken seriously. More studies have to be done on more people. And this should be made clear and very, very sort of open to everyone, every person, all women to know about it and not to hide it away.
Now, your research looked at three different very popular NSAIDs, especially within the European and Canadian market: diclofenac, naproxen, which is popular here as well in the United States under the brand name Aleve, and also terecoxib. So this was not just one particular NSAID. These were three different NSAIDs that have different molecular makeup and drug monographs, but they all produce the same results, correct?
Exactly. And what's more, Carl, is that we use the dose that is regularly taken. I mean, we didn't sort of overdose them. And we didn't underdose these ladies. We just gave them the same doses that normally they will take when they get something like back pain. So, and then the normal dosages of diclofenac, of naproxen, and of the etoricoxib. And we found that around 3/4 of these women did not ovulate. So the ovum stayed in the ovary, and without this, it starts inside a cyst, and the cyst should rupture. And this is very critical because once the cyst ruptures, the ovum will descend down the fallopian tubes where it becomes fertilized. And once it stays in the cyst and never ruptures, then the cyst will degenerate and the ovum itself will become killed. We feel this is a very important issue, a very sort of, we have to bring it to public, and studies have to start. Actually, my colleagues were with me when I was presenting my results. They were very thrilled, and they were talking about starting their own studies in their own countries. Some of them were coming from Holland, one was coming from Germany, and the other colleague was coming from Britain. And they all were talking about, why don't we start more studies on this particular important issue.
Now, some of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they claim to be long-acting. I don't know whether they dissolve slow or they provide some type of hepatic buffer against methylation and excretion, but some of these tend to be very long acting, like the Aleve is supposed to be once a day. So do we think, is there any evidence that the ones that clear the system faster maybe are not as damaging as the ones that seem to be long-acting, and the industry is looking to make them more and more long-acting because it's more convenient, obviously.
Well, actually, diclofenac, for example, is supposedly short-acting. Well, at least, I mean, less than 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And the naproxen, is not as long-acting as the etoricoxib. Actually, all of them, the etoricoxib is the longest acting. And we didn't find any difference whether they are long-acting type of non-steroids or short-acting. I must say we are starting another study on other non-steroids, because although we feel that even other non-steroids like ibuprofen, like celecoxib or other non-steroids,
acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen is not of the same group, so it has got a different mechanism. It does not act on the cyclooxygenase enzyme. But things like, and at least in some countries, methylamic acid is very, very popular. Flurbiprofen mm-hmm. is very popular. So we are starting, again, studies on different non-steroidals to see if this is a pattern that is happening in all non-steroidal drugs. I mean, what happens is that many ladies, they just buy it over the counter thinking they are very safe.
Right.
Well, the message is that they are not safe, and especially if they are systematically, regularly being taken over a long period. So if you need it, ladies, don't take it for more than a day or two. Don't take them for long. Otherwise, you are heading for trouble, especially if you are wanting to become pregnant.
And you know, the interview we did last week or the week before looked at acetaminophen's effect on testosterone levels in the fetus, and it disrupted testosterone right. levels in the fetus. So clearly, these NSAIDs have an effect on sex steroids, and I don't think that men can exclude themselves from the effects of these drugs. Obviously, women clearly, when they're carrying a child, they tend to be more of a concern because of the environment. They provide an environment for the fetus. But I think men need to be listening to this as well and understanding that if these over-the-counter, seemingly harmless drugs are affecting sex hormones in women, they're probably affecting sex hormones in men as well. We have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back with Dr. Sammy Salmon on the other side to talk more about this very important study. If you know anybody who's trying to get pregnant, they need to find other alternatives to manage pain than NSAIDs, in my humble opinion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you tried Carvelin yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carvelin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carvelin is the answer. Carvelin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carvelin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarvelin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarvelin.com. GetCarvelin.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. You know what? This is a really important discussion. I'll tell you why. Because infertility is a $1 billion-a-year industry. More and more people are having difficulty getting pregnant. Something that when I was a kid, back in the 60s, happened a lot more often than people wanted it to happen. Something is changing, and it's not just this. It's lots of things in our environment that have estrogenic and androgenic activity in the body. But this is something that's really scary because doctors tell their patients, especially pregnant women. So we're talking about the inability to get pregnant due to some of these NSAIDs. What if you're taking these while you're pregnant? There's already research that's starting to come forth that shows that it's dangerous. Over 30 million people every day take these over-the-counter NSAIDs because they believe they're safe because they're available over-the-counter. We're talking today with Dr. Sami Salman. He's with the Department of Rheumatology at the University of Baghdad, Iraq. And this is really important work that you're doing, Dr. Salman. I have to commend you on this, getting this out in the open.
Yes, Carl, thank you. Actually, there is nothing safe. I mean, many times when I talk to my patients, I tell them probably the only safe thing is water. So really to consider any of these drugs as safe is really, fooling ourselves.
Right.
They are not safe. And again, I mean, we proved now that they affect fertility, they affect ovulation in women. And 3/4 of these women did not ovulate when they were taking them for 10 days in the dosage that the recommended dosages. However, the good thing is that these women, the month after, all the changes disappeared and they ovulated normally. So, in other words, the changes were reversible in the month after. But still, having said that, And what happens is they continue to take them all the long, all the year round. I mean, there is terrible, terrible problems with these drugs. And people should be aware of this. And infertility is just one of the problems with the NSAIDs. They affect the liver, they affect the kidneys, they cause sloughing of the papillae of the kidney, and they cause aseptic meningitis, mm-hmm. they can cause, and almost every system becomes damaged. So really we should be careful, women should be careful not to take them seriously. And being sold over the counter really adds to the problem. I mean, many people feel as long as I can buy them from the supermarket, it means they are safe. Well, they are not safe. So if you take them for a very, very short period, or not to take them at all. I mean, it's amazing how people have a very low threshold for pain. Many times pain gets away just simply by, you know, just by just forgetting about it and the pain disappears. So actually, what I'm after is that they should not be taken for long periods.
Well, I would love to see your next research paper look at the actual acute phase. In other words, looking at women who take for 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 days to see when this change actually occurs. I suspect that while you looked at a 10-day interval, I have a feeling that the onset of these changes are occurring much sooner than just in 10 days. And while it's prudent to tell a patient, look, if you can get away with taking it for 1 day, you know, do that. But the other problem is that you are giving very, very modest doses. You 100 milligrams a day of diclofenac, 500 milligrams twice a day of naproxen, and 90 milligrams once a day of the enterococcib. Most people take more than the recommended dose because they're in such a hurry to make the pain go away.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is beyond our capability in doing even bigger research on 3 days use only or 7 days use. I mean, I'm very restricted with finances and things like that. But this definitely what I did during the conference is I raised an issue and hoping that other researchers will follow and they will do what you were talking about, and that what about during short periods, 5 days only, what happens then? Is it just half the problem, or is it less than half of the problem is going to happen? Yes, I agree with you. I agree. It's a big issue that has to be you know, addressed. But it's amazing that people take high dosages of these drugs. I mean, the dose that we were using is the optimum dose. But I again agreed that many people do take bigger amounts, and this is even more dangerous. What happens is also when they are taking them with other things, like taking alcohol, for example, or heavy smoking with it. And this really adds up. This adds up to all the complications of these drugs, you know, all the side effects of these drugs. So people with alcohol, non-steroidals, smoking at the same time, I mean, this is a recipe for catastrophe. So people should be careful about their bodies. Their body should be treated as holy, and they should not, abuse it.
I think
that's again my message.
I think, and I think that you summarized what I had hoped, you know, that people start to take these drugs seriously, that just because you can buy them at the grocery store does not make them safe. And pregnant women should avoid everything they can for the health and well-being of their fetus. The doctors, we talked about this on the last show. We actually had a pregnancy handbook from a very, very popular women's clinic, where they say that, you know, if you have back pain, take acetaminophen. And we read that on the air the day we did the show that proves that acetaminophen alters sex steroid levels in pregnant women and actually can affect the testosterone levels of male fetuses. And so we have to stop this nonsense of thinking that we are smarter than nature And we need to start paying more attention to protecting mothers and fetuses, because these over-the-counter drugs are dangerous. They're just as dangerous as anything else out there. Dr. Salmon, I want to thank you. I know it was a lot of work for you to be on the air today, and I want to thank you because this is a very, very critical message that you've produced with this study. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to explain about my research. Thank you very much.
Take care. Take care. All right, so there you have it. If you know someone who's trying to get pregnant, or if you know somebody who is pregnant, with all effort, have them avoid NSAIDs of any type, because it's coming to the forefront that they're much more dangerous than we ever thought. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk about making that transition into retirement. You may want to take up a sport. We'll talk about how that can benefit you.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
DJ... DJ Hero.
Welcome back. So many of us have parents, if we're still lucky enough, and or maybe you yourself are facing the R word, retirement. You know, there's stories from when I was a kid about people who died 3 years later or 3 months later after they retired. And I get the message. You have to have purpose in life. Well, what if your purpose in life is to take up a new sport? We're going to be talking about how that can actually affect the transition of retirement with Dr. David Walsh. How you doing, Dr. Walsh?
Good. How are you doing, Carl?
Fantastic. Fantastic. You are with the University of Houston, and you just published a paper looking at this. So what questions were you trying to answer when you decided to undertake this study?
Yeah, sure. I think the main question for me in my discipline is sport management. And what I wanted to find out is, does sport actually have the capacity to influence development and developmental processes as we age? And what precipitated that question was basically, our quantity of life. I mean, we're living longer than ever before, but the literature and as we know, the chronic illnesses have been, we've been living with more chronic illnesses than ever before. And so there's this gap going on, and if we're thinking about retirement in financial terms, but what about some of these other things that we need? And so that's what I wanted to bring in, is how does sport affect that?
You would actually love this show, and I'll tell you why, because when I first started doing the show 10 years ago this November, I started the show. I used to end every show by saying muscle is metabolic currency, so get into the gym and make a deposit today, because my accusation of people was, you know, you're worried about how much money you have to last into retirement. But do you want that money to be used to pay someone to change your diaper and face you towards the TV at an institution?
Right.
Or do you want to be able to spend that money in full stride of life? And I know, I mean, I just turned 57 a couple days ago, and I know that my goal is to stay as active and ambulatory as possible up until the moment that I can't breathe another breath. And so what you're talking about is really part of the mission of this show. And I love it. And I love the idea of sport as opposed to just going to the gym and working out, because sport is fun. You're actually taking physical mm-hmm. culture and fun and marrying them together. So I really like that as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the craze here maybe because sport management has always been housed in kinesiology departments on universities and that type of thing, and so wonderful researchers that look at physical activity, and we know physical activity has wonderful benefits, but people sometimes don't like it. They don't run. I don't like running. And so how do we keep people involved to get the benefits? And I think sport, we've seen some research that suggests that it intrinsically motivates people better than just physical activity alone. So the fun, enjoyment aspect, but also the social aspect, mm-hmm. the social component, mm-hmm. Provide self-confidence, those types of resources really is what we need. And that's what affects, you know, our quality of life.
So talk about the research. So how is this study designed? What did you look at, and what were you looking for?
Yeah, so let me tell you first, it was kind of a multi-method, two-part study. The first one, I interviewed people 55 and older across their entire lifespan about sport participation in their life transitions. And when I say life transitions, that could be marriage, that could be a death of a loved one, that could be a birth of a child. And then, of course, retiring from the workforce. And what I found is that people used sport to overcome really negative transitions in their life because they were searching for something, whether that was camaraderie or just the physical aspect to de-stress, that type of thing. So I took that qualitative study and I looked at, so that was more of a macro view.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to look at a transition point specifically. So I looked at retirement and I did a quantitative study to see, you know, what are the effects on sports effects on resources. And we know that resources play a major role in adapting to really negative transitions in people's lives. Retirement is not always positive. We think of it as, you know, the gold standard. We want to get there, but we have a lot of research that suggests, well, people have a difficult time. And so they need resources, financial, of course, but if you're thinking about retiring and you've worked for 30, 40, 50 years, you've probably developed a pretty strong social network of your working peers. But mm-hmm. when that's gone, how do you replace that? And so the study was asking people in a retirement community, it was 14,000 person community, about the importance they placed on sport and how it affected resources in their life.
And so what did you learn from these people?
So what I found was that, and this was in a community, these retirement communities. So it was a 55 and older retirement community. These are popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was in South Texas. And what I found was is that the people, even in this enriched community where they have kind of sport programming or physical activity program
right.
facilities, the people that played sport more or put it more of an emphasis on sport in these communities were able to obtain larger amounts of resources at a pretty large effect, which we know if resources are enhanced, then your quality of life and adjustment of
transition. So when you say resources, quicker. Do you mean that they had someone on the facility who would teach tennis or work with people to hone their skills in a particular sport that they had maybe not endeavored before or endeavored at such a young age that they needed a primer again?
So that's a great question. So I didn't look at sport like the type of sport or the design of sport. I just asked the question basically does, you know, and this was a battery of questions, over 100 questions I asked these people. But sport was made up of, how, you know, do you place a large importance of sport in your life? There was three components, mm-hmm. how you thought about sport, how you felt about sport, and then your behavior. You know, how many times a week do you play sport and that type of thing. So that was my first step. Does sport even have an effect on this? And we find that it does. Now, what's good is we can take this study and look at, well, what are the actual specific resources, and then how can we design sport optimally?
So did if someone liked sport, so in other words, they enjoyed watching a given sport as a spectator, were they more inclined to want to participate in sport?
You know, through our research, spectatorship does not necessarily lead or even cause or even have a high correlation participation.
What about past sports involvement? You know, collegiate sport player, and now they're older. Do they want to get back in touch with that sport?
Yeah, I in my qualitative study, when I asked people that, that was the tendency. You know, if they had a positive previous experience with sport, they had a higher propensity to play later on in life, and we know this. It doesn't, though. What I did find that people that had bad experiences, because we know that sport is not a magical elixir. It can be bad and it can be good. But people that had bad experiences earlier in life still came back to play sport later mm-hmm. on. They may mm-hmm. have picked a different sport, which is very encouraging.
What about we were talking before, and you were talking about how people are living longer. We actually talk about that on the show. It's called health span versus lifespan. So how far younger do you get sick or later in life actually succumb to some sort of chronic illness before the end of your life? And so what about the attitudes of people who were not in good health? Were they less likely to embrace the idea of sport?
Yeah, in my particular quantitative study, I didn't ask them about their health condition, mm-hmm. their current health condition. If I had to look at it and just kind of anecdotally say, I would say that the people that were in probably better health probably played sport more.
Right.
But that's the issue. I think, you know, sport management and why I even undertook this study is we do a lot with youth sport. We do a lot of adolescent sport, and
right.
we put a lot of resources in designing sport to make it, you know, develop life skills and character skills for later life.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do very much for adults and older adults. We keep offering the same sport as when we were growing up to older adults. So this study is really leading into how can we design it better at an older age?
I'll tell you what you can do. And here's the thought I had when I was preparing for the interview. if we could find, you know, in bodybuilding and in powerlifting, in these types of physical cultures, we have master's divisions. And so, you know, at 57, I could compete in a master's, a powerlifting competition. I'm competing against men within a certain age bracket, and the field is leveled, if you will. And so we have a professional, sport is driven by desire. So young, there's a young kid somewhere in the neighborhood says, I want to be the next Michael Jordan. And he invests all this effort and time to become the next Michael Jordan. But that's because becoming the next Michael Jordan comes with a lot of positive things. It comes with money and fame and exposure and so on and so forth. But elderly people don't have that. We have to play the sport for the sake of the sport and the intrinsic value of it improves health, which it does. There's lots of good research out there that shows, you know, the more active you are later in life, the more muscle you maintain, the more strength you maintain. There's a longevity curve there. It really is. And it also improves health span as well. And that's great. But I think that what's going to happen is through your research and starting to develop programs to help adults reinvest themselves in sports, we're going to have bumper crops of really talented older people in sports, and we're going to need some place to put them so that everybody can watch them perform. And I see master's divisions in, maybe it's 50 years from now, but I see financial, sponsors backing master's division sports that we're going to watch on television someday.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And Carl, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the largest participatory sporting event in the world.
Yeah, because there's more of us than the young guys.
Yeah, exactly. And you might know this, Willie Gault, who is the wide receiver for the Chicago Bears and a great sprinter, has the record for, you know, I think he's at 50 years old or something in master sport.
Right.
And it's funny because I think older adults, their purpose for sport and participating in it changes as we age. Some retain the ultra competitive spirit, and that's great. That makes it fun. But a lot of, you know, and there's some good research out there about master sport, and they do it for the social implications,
yes,
the camaraderie, the connections, the kind of a reunion. I get to see these people again that I don't get to see, outside of kind of my regular environment. So it's huge. I think my question is, and we're getting at kind of the commercialization of master sport. Is that good? Is that what they want?
I think I got to be honest with you. I think so, and I want to talk about that when we come out of the other side of this break, because I want to talk about some attitudes that I can speak to. Turning 57 recently, and I'm extremely strong. I've been changing the way I train. I've been looking more towards conditioning, which is harder for an older guy like me to achieve and maintain than just raw strength. And there's been attitudes that are emerging in me that I'm recognizing. And they're juxtaposed to the kid who's 16 that still lives in me. So I want to talk about this when we come back from the break. This is really intriguing discussion. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. David Walsh. We'll be right back. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information,
check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
MIA. All I wanna do is... Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. David Walsh from University of Houston about a recent paper that he published looking at how sports can aid in the transition of retirement. We know too many people actually fall prey to illness and death when they retire because they lose a mission in life, and sports can be that mission for them. They can reinvest themselves, and quite frankly, it's a wonderful mission. But here's what I want to talk to you about. And I know this wasn't necessarily something we had communicated about before the interview, but we could just kind of freestyle here a little bit. I'm 57 years old. I'm extremely strong. I've been working on my conditioning. This comes harder. Sprinting is something I used to be able to do at will, and I can't just do it at will any longer. It's not saying that I won't be able to do it again, but I have to regain my flexibility. I have to work around nasty injuries, deadlifting a couple years ago. I tore two hamstring attachments. And all of a sudden you're reminded about how old you are. And I think I have this strange feeling. I have nothing to prove this, but anecdotally myself, you know, I still have the same desires for recognition that I did when I was a young man. And inside my body, there's still this 16, 17, 18-year-old kid who believes optimistically that the future is brighter than what is going on right now this minute. But I'm constantly being reminded by my body that that may or may not be true. And so I think that part of the objective of getting older people like myself to reinvest in sports is actually working with them to come to grips that, hey, look, you know, don't look at this like, wow, what if I would have started younger? Where would I have been today? But look at it about where you're starting now and where you can go. And in order to do that, we need a platform to elevate the cream of the crop of older athletes, in my humble opinion. Look at Olga. We did that story about this woman. She's like in her 90s now, and she's a sprinter. She trains every single day to sprint. It didn't happen overnight. But there are more and more older athletes, as you point out, because we have a big population today of baby boomers. And I think that those of us who missed the opportunity to learn how good we could have been as young people, we want to try it now, and we want to get the recognition for it.
And I think, Carl, you know, it's about how you define success. You know, we were talking about, you know, master sport and you know, winning the particular event that you're, you know, participating in, whether that's the gold medal or the blue ribbon or what have you. But a lot of them, you know, want to learn about if they can even do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or can I gain two extra friends this trip around? Or just that self-confidence that, hey, I can still do it. I can still bring it. And I think that provides a platform to do it. I think it's, you know, sport offers a danger to overemphasize winning and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can balance that out with maybe some other successes. And I think with quality of life, we just need to be able to spread it out and not just focus on one thing. And I think that's where the design of sport comes in, and we have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I think it's very exciting that you're looking at this, and I think it's been a very underserved segment, quite
yep.
frankly. So what's next for your research?
Sure. So what I really want to do is today, you know, for my research that was still left kind of unanswered, if you were to ask me, well, which resources, which are the ones that really sport affect, I can give you a global picture and say, yes, sport affects resources, but I can't really identify which ones are mm-hmm. most affected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to follow that up and say, you know, is it the social resources? Is it the physical? Is it financial? Is it the emotional aspect of it? And then also, what types of sport? That's what I want to figure out. And is it, you know, tennis? Is it pickleball? Is it basketball? Those types of things. Is it team sport versus individual? So there's a lot of questions still left, but like you said, it's underserved. And so that's why I'm excited, because this is, you know, it's a booming population, and they're ready to play sport. I mean, it's ripe. So,
you know, you really should. I don't know if you have, and I'm not assuming that you haven't, but if you have not looked at the sport of powerlifting and Olympic lifting, there is an amazingly large group of masters athletes who've never competed in these things before, but started weightlifting and found out that because this is an emerging segment, that they can be competitive, and they compete for the joy of being able to say, you know, I just squatted X, or I just bench pressed X, or I just deadlifted X. And they're embraced by the sport because many of the young athletes know that someday they will be competing as masters athletes someday.
Right.
And there's a very rich community of masters athletes, especially in powerlifting. Have you looked at that already?
I have not looked at powerlifting. I think it's very intriguing, though, because like you said, it's more about the individual accomplishment. Can I maybe not beat my opponent, but can I beat my, you know, my previous weight?
PRs.
I think that's huge.
Ironically, a lot of people don't realize this. As soon as you talk about weightlifting, they think, oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you something. A sport where you have to run and maybe turn quickly, like even tennis, poses a greater risk of injury than pulling a 400-pound weight off the ground. I mean, it's just powerlifting lends itself to us older guys who still have good muscular strength, but, you know, the joints aren't as good as they used to be. And it's counterintuitive. Most people think, oh, that's the last sport that the elderly would want to be involved with. I mean, we had Judy Madsen on this show a few years ago in her 80s with a 235-pound deadlift, who then suffered a car accident. And her doctor said, had you not had the muscular strength that you have, this would have been it for you. This would have been your swan song. But she wasn't even injured in that car accident, high speed on a highway. So my point is, you really do need to start to look into powerlifting. You're going to find a lot of older athletes that will fit into some of this future research you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, it's all about, you know, this narrative of, you know, older adults or even adulthood, we stop developing. And that's just not true. You know, human span, lifespan, I use a life course paradigm. That research is rich that suggests we don't stop developing. We can always continue to develop just in different ways. And so that's what's encouraging, and I think that's why there's a big gap, at least in my discipline. It's all geared towards youth, but there's this huge population that I think sport can serve.
I love what you're doing. I really do. I love it, and I predict that you are involved in something that is emerging. And I predict that there will be a commercialization of it some 50 years from now when Nike and companies like that go, wow, you know, we're investing in all these X games, snowboarders, when the largest population of people out there are these older athletes. And keep in mind, if I have been newly involved in a sport as a result of retirement of my age, I think, you know, I'm going to do this. Dr. Walsh's work is being promoted out there in the world, and older individuals are saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to try a sport even though I never did before, or maybe I'm going to revisit a sport that I played as a kid that I loved. Well, are they going to look to a 26-year-old athlete and aspire to him? Or are they going to look to a 65-year-old athlete and aspire to him and be motivated by him? It's going to be the latter. So we're going to need, whether we like it or not, we're going to have to embrace and elevate our older athletes in a more commercial venue so that those other people on the sidelines go, wow, maybe I can do that.
Yeah, it's a great tool to use for awareness and inspiration. I think you hit it. You know, if I'm seeing somebody who is 104 years old running a marathon or completing, 100-yard sprint, you know, that's going to maybe motivate me, and hopefully that has far-reaching impacts of all of our, you know, society with obesity and some of these other health issues. It can inspire everybody else.
And dementia, I mean, we know that activity can actually hold back dementia. No, you're doing great work. I applaud you for not taking the going after the low-hanging fruit and taking the road less traveled, because I predict you're going to have a great impact on society. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Carl. I really appreciate you having me.
Take care. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Krista Varaday. She was on the show before when we did her book, The Every Other Day Diet. We're going to talk about some new research on its efficacy and safety. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high-protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We have to give Dr. Varaday just a couple more minutes. She was actually parking her car when I called her. Live radio at its best. I thought the last two interviews were great. You know, the discussion about NSAIDs is going to continue, I predict. Because we have been at experiment with these over-the-counter NSAIDs. Over-the-counter NSAIDs really destroyed my father's liver and kidneys. He was taking one of those nighttime Tylenol products to help him sleep. A lot of elderly people do it. They figure, well, the Tylenol portion is good for you. It reduces inflammation and it makes you sleepy. And this is such a dangerous thing. And the people who are least able to withstand the damage to organs, elderly people, are the ones who fall prey to this the most. And now we're starting to see that NSAIDs are no good for pregnant mothers and mothers who want to be pregnant. And believe me, it can't be any good for guys either. If it's affecting that cascade of enzymes that affect downstream metabolites of hormones like progesterone and DHT and estradiol, it's affecting men too, especially men who think, oh, you know, I've got all these aches and pains from training, so I'll just take, you know, some Aleve once a day, twice a day, and everything is great. It's not great. The pain may be gone, but you have other problems now. I'm going to turn the music back up, and we'll get Dr. Varaday on. Hold on. Get busy.
gleich gefunden, den Regen verflucht und doch nie überwunden. Statt durch Nebel zu gehen auf das, was auf uns zukommt, haben viele nur einfach Angst vor der Zukunft. Die Träume, sie enden und scheinen gescheitert in Räumen an Wänden. Hier geht es nicht weiter, denn wie alles da draußen erblüht unser Leben, auch nur durch den Wechsel von Sonne und Regen. Es ist klar, der Regen wäscht auf jeden Fall weg, was war. Und es erscheint mir überall, schenkt er auch neues Leben, eine neue Chance für jeden. Wenn sonnig die Wolken bricht, wie nach einem Sommerregen. Es ist klar, der Regen wäscht auf jeden Fall weg, was war. Und es erscheint mir überall, schenkt er auch neues Leben, eine neue Chance für jeden. Wenn sonnig die Wolken bricht, wie nach einem
Sommerregen. Hi, welcome back. So Dr. Baraday is on with us. We actually caught her in between things because there was some confusion about the time of the interview. She's gracious enough to be on the air with us live. How you doing, Dr. Baraday?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so we'll move very quickly on this because I know that, and if anybody hears a baby in the background, there is a baby in the car. But we're going to get through this as quickly as possible, and we'll cover all the salient and most important information. So you were first on our show when you were publicizing your book, The Every Other Day Diet, which so many people have had great success with losing weight. And as with anything that works, there's always a vocal minority out there that go, yes, but is it safe? So I guess you had to answer this question truly as a scientist. And you recently published a paper looking at the safety of alternate day fasting and its effects on disordered eating behaviors, correct?
Yeah, that's true. We just published that a few months ago.
So talk about it. What did you look at in this research and what did you find?
So what we looked at primarily were adverse events. So we just wanted to see if there were any adverse events with alternate day fasting, such as even minor things like headaches and, you know, dizziness or weakness or anything that people would expect would happen if, you know, if you weren't eating as much as you usually would. We also looked at disordered eating behaviors just because a lot of people were wondering if potentially this type of eating, kind of the feasting and fasting day after day, if that would lead to any kind of disordered eating. And what we found with adverse events was actually there was no change in anything from baseline to post-treatment, and that's about after 8 weeks of alternate day fasting in about 60 obese individuals. So they didn't have any increases in dizziness or weakness. What else did we measure?
Water retention. How did water retention go?
Water retention actually didn't change either. So nothing significantly changed. We also looked at other kind of GI issues like, even like diarrhea or constipation. So we're wondering if, changing your eating habits that much would affect, basically your gut. And we didn't see any changes. Again, since it's only about 60 people, maybe we need to run it in a larger sample, but really people in general are really happy with the diet. The main limitation to that study is that we didn't measure headaches, actually. So I should have pointed that out.
So wait a minute, but I love this one because, for those of us out there who practice intermittent fasting, you know that sometimes your breath can get really bad when you're fasted. So what about their breath? Did their breath change?
So bad breath didn't change significantly, but it did go up a little bit. I'm trying to remember the exact numbers. I'm not sure if you have the paper right in front of you, but that did increase a little bit. It wasn't significant. So scientifically, you want something like a statistical mathematical test judges whether or not it truly happens. And so mathematically or statistically, it didn't change, but it did go up a little bit. Yeah, and that makes sense. A lot of people that are dieting will find that if they're eating less, they're actually, it's either a bit of ketosis or something
right.
like that that's happening that that might increase bad breath. One thing that people find is either brushing their teeth multiple times a day or drinking more water or chewing gum also really helps with that. But that's true. That did not statistically increase a little bit. And then just back to the headaches thing, one thing that I noticed just anecdotally, a lot of people, I have a Facebook page, the Every Other Day Diet Facebook page, and I'd say probably the main thing people ask about or complain about is headaches within the first, I'd say about 3 to 5 days of the diet. And that generally happens because people aren't eating enough. They're not drinking enough on the fast day.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to remember is if you're eating a lot less food, if you're only eating that 500 calories on the fast day, you're actually consuming a lot less water. So people kind of forget about that. They don't up their water intake on the fast day. And I think that's where the headaches are coming from, mainly from dehydration. So we always say, you know, particularly when you start the diet and try to keep it up, about 8 to 12 glasses of water a day on the fast day.
You know, I think it's interesting because your original book talks about a fast day being of 500 calories, where most of us who embrace intermittent fasting don't eat anything on our fasting day. And
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, I when I fast, I fast. I just drink water and the occasional black coffee. But I don't consume any food at all. I don't consider a 500 calorie intake as a fasting day. And I mean, I never get headaches at all. But obviously those of us who practice this are much more metabolically flexible than say someone who's in a pre-diabetic state. I would have to imagine that the degree of insulin resistance, the landscape of the insulin receptor would perhaps make someone more prone to not feeling good on an every other day fast type of an approach. Is there any evidence of that?
So there's two questions there. You're asking about like insulin resistance and also whether or not they're feeling good. Interestingly, on the fast day, and also just to reiterate, just in case anyone's not familiar with the every other day diet, it's basically 500 calories as a fast day, and then you alternate that with a day where you truly eat whatever you'd like. And we find that most people don't binge, so they end up losing weight over the course of several weeks. But what we find is people actually have a boost in energy on the fast day. It doesn't happen in the first week or so, but it takes, you know, it takes about a week and a half to adjust to the diet. But after that, so many people report this really interesting boost in energy, whereas I really thought that people would be kind of, you know, depressed or just, you know, sad or irritable or something on the fast day. But really, after they adjust to the diet, they feel great. And in terms of insulin resistance, we have seen decreases in HOMA-IR, which is something
right.
that we measure, where it's basically looking at, you measure glucose and insulin, and it's just an equation, but that measures insulin resistance. And we have found that it has gone down by about 50%. In about 8 weeks.
That's
so
significant.
It does decrease, and that is with the eating 500 calories a day as a fast day. I have nothing wrong with eating nothing on the fast day if people want to do that. I always say, you know, people should do what they want to do. However, I do find a lot of people have problems with that, and they tend just anecdotally, I find that they quit the diet earlier because they find it kind of harder to get through. But there's also some people that if they do eat a little bit, like 300 to 500 calories on that day, they find that they just end up binging. So it's, you know, whatever, just do what works for you, whatever helps you stick to the diet for long term. Because, again, all this stuff is a lifestyle change. You can't just do something for 3 months because then once you stop doing that, you're going to gain the weight back.
Right.
And
really, the every other day diet basically just reduces by about 75% on the fasting day what the caloric intake is. So if you do it throughout the week, you will see body fat reductions. But I think the original show we did, it was a 6 week period that you looked at, right? It was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was probably an 8 week study. So, yeah, it's true. We generally find people lose anywhere from about 10 to 30 pounds in 8 to 12 weeks. That's the general range. So, you know, larger people will lose more. They'll lose more like 3 pounds a week, and smaller people will lose, you know, about a pound a week or so.
So, and I'm going to let you go because I know that you're really the tied up over there. So in conclusion, this research shows that the alternate day fasting protocol really produces minimal adverse symptoms at all, right?
Yeah, from that one study. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't elaborate on the eating disorder. So with that, we basically gave the subjects some eating disorder questionnaires, and we found that, again, there was no change in purgative behaviors, binge eating, We've been measured depression in some of those questionnaires. So a lot of the things that go along with, just disordered eating behaviors. And there was no change at all. In fact, what we did see was an increase in restrained eating. So we saw a significant increase where people actually started to kind of just make more conscious decisions while choosing food. I guess because they were so used to every other day having to count the 500 calories and, I don't know. I think it just made them a lot more conscious or just a lot more mindful about what they're eating.
I would think that it would reinforce willpower, that a person who's had challenges exactly. with eating for so long and hence they are obese, all of a sudden finds an easy way to slowly and incrementally start building willpower and going, wow, after my first week of alternate day fasting, I'm seeing progress and I feel good and I can do this. Like Stuart Smiley on Saturday Night Live, you know, looking in the mirror and saying, I'm good and I'm strong and I can do this. I would imagine that that would actually translate to making better choices, fighting off bad choices on the days that they can eat.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Where it's just, I think a lot of people just find themselves just eating without even noticing. So once you start some type of diet plan, it really doesn't matter what it is, you really start to notice what types of foods you're choosing. And once you kind of become a bit more aware of the portion sizes that we should actually be eating. So also just to point out, we do give our subjects dietary counseling, like weekly one-on-one dietary counseling. So that also might have played into that. But yeah, I do find just reading the really great comments on the Facebook page, a lot of people just find after they've been doing this diet that really they do become more mindful. They just stop, you know, just kind of blindly grabbing snacks throughout the day, and they really just focus on eating meals throughout the day or whatever it is, but not just, you know, just eating because they're bored or eating because they're tired or stressed or whatever.
Well, one last question, I'll let you go. So if you are somebody who trains, works out, goes to the gym, you're either lifting and or cardio and or both, how do you work your training days into your alternate day fasting schedule?
Oh, great. Yeah, it's a great question. So we actually ran a study where we combined endurance training with alternate day fasting just to see. The question there was really, can people even exercise at all on the fast day? Would you want to exercise? And if you did, exactly, like how would you incorporate that? So what we found was not only can people exercise, they definitely can exercise on the fast day. They, again, as I mentioned before, they have some type of boost in energy that really on that fast day that helps them, you know, not only get through an exercise session, but just feel more energetic throughout the day. What we did notice kind of as a tip is that people should consume their fast day meal after they exercise. Again, we've only done this in endurance exercise, so it's people on elliptical machines and stationary bikes and that type of thing. So we haven't done it any study yet with resistance training. But with endurance exercise, what happens is people stop exercising, and then for about half an hour, 45 minutes, people don't feel hungry at all. And then all of a sudden, they become like completely ravenous, where people can quite hungry, yeah, about 45 minutes after exercising. So if you have that fast day meal in place, after that, you can basically, that's great, then you're not going to be hungry anymore because you can eat that fast day meal. But the people that chose to basically exercise after their fast day meal ended up cheating a lot more. So they ended up having a second meal that day, probably around about 300 to 500 calories or so. So they lost less weight. So again, just to simplify it, just keep the meal for after your exercise session.
Okay, so in summary, for those out there who question the safety of the diet, there you go. And you can get the book at superhumanradio.com in our Amazon section at the top. Look, thanks for being on the air today, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, sorry about the timing.
No worries. Okay, that's live radio. You take care.
Thank you so much.
So we're going to take one last commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
At DS Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Have you tried Carbolin yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated-to-win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. GetCarbolin.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, right about now, let's get ready to rumble still
stand! Welcome back. You know, I was looking for this statistic when we were talking to Dr. Salmon at the beginning of the show. 6.7 million women in the United States have trouble getting pregnant. Now, I'm not saying all of those are a result of the use of NSAIDs, but we don't know how many of them are, quite frankly. So it is an important discussion. I want to thank him for coming on. You know, he was the first guest we've had from Iran, only because he was in Italy at the time of the interview. We have not been successful in having any of the scientists from Iran on the show for a variety of reasons, and I'm really happy that he was on. Also, want to thank Dr. Walsh for coming on and talking about the importance of older athletes, especially if you are retiring or you know someone who's retiring. It's a good time for them to take up a sport. It will prolong their lives, fill their life with mission and joy. We know that already in this audience, but it's just nice to hear it from science as well. And then, of course, thanks to Dr. Krista Faraday for coming on. So the every other day diet is safe and it's effective. What more do you need? You can learn more about the book by going to superhumanradio.com and looking in our Amazon section. You can find it there. Alternate day fasting, the every other day diet. And of course, thanks to All American Pharmaceutical, their product line, All American EFX Sports. They are the title sponsor of the show. It's Monday. We have a lot of really great shows this week. I hope you are able to tune in all week and learn. Thanks for listening today.